Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Take it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
Welcome to the Geek Parent Radio, where we focus on the new generation of smart, frugal, and trendy digital parents. I'm your geeky host, Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler.
And we'll be with you for the next 40 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
If at any time during the show you'd like to ask questions or request a topic, you can email the station at onair@thegeekparent.com or join us in the chat room from our podcast site. And be sure to stop over and like us on Facebook or subscribe to us on Twitter via our website at thegeekparent.com.
And this week we are going to be talking about tech that gets you moving. And actually one of the tech, I guess I should say, the tech adventures that I love to do that includes kind of getting you moving is geocaching. Have you ever done this, Josh?
I've heard of it, but I've never done it, I don't believe. Maybe inadvertently,
well,
but...
Right. Actually, it's... If you have never done it before, it's something that I would really suggest that families do at least one time together. Whether it's, you know, if you want to start off by yourself trying it out to see how it works and then getting your spouse or your kids involved, it is just an absolutely wonderful thing to do. My family and I, we do geocaching. We used to do it quite often. We don't do it as much in the wintertime, obviously, because it's a little bit cold.
Oh, why not?
It's a really, really cold, and I think I lose my patience more when I'm freezing and the kids are and my husband are trying to find the treasure that we're supposed to find, and I'm freezing my butt off. So I really am not the greatest person to go geocaching with in the wintertime. But in the summertime, you know, in the spring, in the fall, and so forth, we do geocaching a lot. And whenever we would actually do it whenever we would go out to eat, we would go to the mall, grocery shopping, visiting friends, any time that we were out of the house, we would make sure that we did some geocaching. And we would always try to do geocaching kind of close to wherever we were at. And there's thousands, actually probably millions of geocaches all over the place, and there's probably one very close to you. But
there are 49 next to me.
Are there? Boy, you could be out there geocaching right now.
In the snow, but I'd be geocrashing. So.
Right, exactly. There's a good one. That's a good one. But our we actually met... while we were out geocaching, we met a young man and his wife, and they had come all the way from Canada to Delaware, and they were taking a trip. But as they were geocaching, you know, they didn't have any kids or anything, so as they were geocaching, they just continued to travel, and it brought them to the location where we were at in Delaware, and we helped each other try to find this little treasure that you're looking for with your GPS, and it just, you know, we ended up hitting it off really well with the guy, and they were such nice people. But that was just one of the benefits of geocaching is being able to meet different people from different parts of the world. And some of the other advantages of geocaching is that you get to get out of the house and you get moving. You discover new places, and you actually get to leave a where I've been signature in the geocaching book whenever the treasure is found. And then you find really neat things once you find this little treasure. Sometimes they're really amazing treasures. But if you take something, you have to leave something in its place. So, yeah, so if and some of them are just like, I found a Star Wars figurine one time, and it was, you know, just a little Stormtrooper figurine, but, you know, obviously I wanted to take it. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so so you have to leave something in its place, and some things are probably little junk things, but the kids love finding these treasure boxes. And actually, geocaching.com, every year they do a big geocaching throughout the world where there you can actually find thousands of dollars. So, so yeah, it's a really big worldwide adventure. In fact, some of our listeners right now are probably wondering, okay, she's talking all about this geocaching stuff, but what exactly is geocaching? So geocaching.com actually explains it best.
Geocaching is an any-day, any-time adventure that can take you to amazing and beautiful places, or even just to a place in your town that you've never been before. There are 2 million geocaches worldwide. There are probably even some near you right now. Yes, you. To start finding them, just get out your phone or GPS. Go ahead, I'll wait. Then, create a free geocaching account and you're ready to go. The way it works is simple. Just choose the geocache that you want to find, then navigate to its location. What you're looking for varies. Geocaches come in different sizes, shapes, and difficulties. Geocaching isn't always easy, so it's okay to get excited when you discover the cache. After finding it, sign the logbook, trade knickknacks if you want, and log your find online. When you're done, just put the geocache back where you found it, and you're on to the next one. Hey, it's the other way. There's an adventure happening all the time, all around you. Become a part of it at geocaching.com.
So basically, geocaching is a real-world outdoor treasure hunting game, and you use your GPS-enabled devices. So what I do is on my my smartphone, you download the app for Geocache, and then once you have that on there, you can create a team. My family's team name is Geekheads. And then once you create your team, you can log under the geocaching every time you find the treasure. So you'll go to the app, you'll open it up, and you'll search in where the area that you're located in at that specific time. So you'll have to enable location tracking.
Right.
And then it'll show you the closest geocache treasures to you. So then you'll go and you'll follow it. And some of the apps that are out there, you actually just have to hold your phone right in front of you, and it'll act like a compass.
Okay.
And so you'll just kind of follow it that way, and you'll go through trails, and sometimes it'll be hidden in really hard places, so it'll take you a long time. But then sometimes they're really big, and it's easier to track. Now, every single treasure has to have the geocache logo on it so that you know that it's a geocache treasure. And this also helps with people who are just walking by and see this little treasure thing and wonder, hey, what's this? And it has a geocache,
yeah.
And it'll have a little website on it and everything. So it'll kind of deter people from just picking it up and walking off with it. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. I'm sure it does. But
oh,
for the most
no,
part,
that
we
never that. Happen.
Yeah. No. Kids always leave things where they belong.
Definitely.
Yeah, so you know, you'll end up finding it. I think we did. We usually take our kids, and then sometimes we'll go out. Actually, we went out probably 11 o'clock at night one time with a bunch of friends who had called us with their kids, and it was a weekend. And they said, "Hey, you know, we just got back from dinner, but we're out in the parking lot, and there's some geocaches. Do you want to come out and meet us?" And we did, you know, and it was late, but it was a weekend, and it was really fun because we had the dads out there with the flashlights because it was in the backwooded area. And then here's us moms, you know, trying to keep the kids from screaming too loud because they're trying to tell the dads where to go. And it just turned out really, really fun. So I would highly suggest doing some geocaching. And some of the sites that you can go to find out a little bit more about geocaching is actually thegeekparent.com, and you can search for geocaching. We have a link there that has a little bit to do with geocaching 101. And then you can obviously go to geocaching.com. And then another site where your kids can go and kind of mark their journals or write down where they've been, what they've been doing, what they've found and discovered is geocaching, the number 4, and then kids. So it's geocaching4kids.com. And that is a great site for kids as well. So, Josh, next time I talk to you, I hope you've at least tried one geocaching.
It's middle of winter here. I'm not going out.
Wait a minute.
I'll geocache something in my house.
I have to agree with you there. I have to agree with you with that one.
Although, on occasion, I geocache my keys, so I'm constantly searching for them. Does that count?
That counts. I think that counts, especially when you're rushing around and you have to find them at the last minute.
Well, then I'll get me a little book and I'll sign it every time I find them.
I bet that'll be filled up there after a while, huh? With the way that we forget things.
I might need a couple books for a month. So.
Exactly. What about you this week? What have you found? What have you done?
Well, this week I was actually perusing the internet like I do. And I saw that Microsoft released another one of their productivity future vision videos, which is one of these videos that Microsoft releases every so often. I found three of them, and it's kind of their outlook on what the future holds, specifically towards what they are producing or what they see could be producing. And it's a pretty cool little video. It's definitely the future I want to live in. They have the wearables are pretty common. A girl has this little bracelet that actually turns into – she gives her appointments. It reminds her of things. She held it up to some textile, and it copied the textile picture, which
– wow.
Is, but she's a marine biologist. So then it goes into, and she's a freelance marine biologist. And another picture shows her scuba diving, and her goggles actually have something like what Microsoft's HoloLens is, where it puts augmented reality displays up over what she's looking at, and it tells her species of seaweed, fish, how many fish there are, what the specific thing is on the seaweed. So that was really cool. And then it relayed that info back to a classroom where kids were watching it, and they could ask her questions, and the question would pop up on the video on her goggles. So it's really cool. There's a lot of other stuff. They were going to post something on specifically the Facebook page. We can give the link out to on the Geek Parent website. If you get a chance to watch the video and you're into the future vision on what could and what's possibly coming around the corner, it's a really cool video to watch.
Now, it's a bracelet that she wears on her hand?
It is a bracelet, yes.
And it just reflects back to the classroom?
No, the bracelet doesn't reflect back to the classroom. The goggles did when she was scuba diving. The bracelet was another part of the video where she's out. And it was kind of like all the smartwatches that are coming out left and right, except
right.
It was more like those little slap bands that they used to have that you would slap on your wrist and it would form. It kind of looked like a beefed up version of one of those.
That is absolutely awesome. I mean, that can be – now, this isn't released yet then?
No.
These are
just
ideas of what they're working on?
Just their ideas. This is just their ideas, what they see the future as. Bendable tablets where it actually feels like a book, like you're reading it. Life-size video screens that you could have conferencing, that a lady sitting on the couch talking to her dad, and it almost looks like he's in the next room, but it's actually video conferencing. there's on a refrigerator, a guy taps and it shows what's in his refrigerator and what he needs to order and what he can cook. And it's really cool vision of the future.
You know, and it really kind of just describing it, and I think everybody actually has to see it for themselves, because I think with the way that technology is going now and the way that everybody has their idea of what technology could look like, there's so many different versions of things that are kind of floating out there. But I think everybody should really go to the site and take a look at it, because this kind of it's actually very inspiring. It reminds me of my favorite game, Mass Effect. I mean, some of the, you know, the stuff that they do in this and the ideas that they have, you know, like putting up the, you know, the maps and everything on the visuals on the clear screen and everything like that. That's,
yeah.
Those are some of the things that movies and video games are already using, and they're already implementing that stuff to show it.
Yes, there is a company out. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but they make a see-through beverage container. It's transparent glass, but then you can actually play videos on it, so they can play ads. And they're selling these to mainly bars right now, because it's where the most money is to start off with. But it's a completely transparent video screen.
See, that's just absolutely amazing. It reminds me of, you know, I can't think of the name of the movie, but it has Tom Cruise and
Minority Report.
You know what? Yes, that's it. You know, when he's walking by and it says his name and everything that he likes,
yep.
And it shows the ads and so forth.
Yeah.
Is that insane or what? I mean, that's
it is. We're actually on the really close to being there with different technology.
Right, right. And it's actually a little bit scary if you think about it too. I mean, for these companies to know exactly what I like, where I've been surfing, what I've been, you know, buying, you know, who I've been in contact with and so forth. It can be a little bit, you know, unnerving, especially when technology moves so fast and a lot of people aren't at that level yet of being comfortable with technology.
Right.
And I think our kids are going to be the generation that embraces it more. I mean, you and I obviously embrace it because that's what we've been working with. And, you know, we see the potential in it and we see the positive more than we do the negative. But I think we still are on that level of uncertainty with our generation, because
yeah.
There's still a lot of parents out there who withhold their kids from going on the internet because they don't know what's on there. They don't know how to do the security levels. They don't know how to do, you know, parental monitoring. But I think our kids are going to be better prepared if you allow them to utilize technology and to learn how to protect themselves. I mean, do you agree with that, Josh?
Yes, 100%. The more that you let your kids see it on a supervised manner, then they're going to be less likely to, you know, well, what's this? I'm just going to go here. You have to kind of help them. You have to understand, okay, well, if you did this, then this happens. It's through mistakes that we learn. And as long as you're with your kids and helping them understand the mistakes, then that's how they grow and they understand that, okay, well, this is okay to do. This is not okay to do. Well, I should really think about my future, because if I post this on Facebook, it's there forever.
Agreed. Correct. Correct. And that has a lot to do with the innovations that are coming out. I think this is just an absolutely remarkable vision, and I'm excited for it. There's no going back. I mean, we've already gotten to the point now where we're just moving forward. So there is no going back with it. All from this point on is going to be innovations like this, and the best thing to do is to learn about it and and just kind of teach other people how everything works together. So thank you, Josh. This was absolutely wonderful. I never knew this was out there.
Yep. Not a problem.
And we are going to move on to our app of the week. Josh, what do you have for us this week for app?
Well, this app of the week is a little misleading because it's not entirely just an app, but it is more than an app, I guess I should say.
The app, we're getting to that point, right?
Yes. It's called Daily Burn. It's at www.dailyburn.com. It is a website that is entirely tailored to exercise and living a healthy lifestyle. They have workout plans. There's about 18 of them, and they range from very beginner to pretty hardcore advanced. I've actually been doing it. Me and my wife have been doing it for 8 weeks now, and it definitely, the first few weeks were, this doesn't really seem that difficult, to the last few weeks have been waking up and, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this this morning. I'm sore. So it's a very cool app. I have it on my iPhone, and I have an Apple TV, so we push it up to the Apple TV. You can play it on your computer. Some of the supported devices are Roku, Chromecast, of course, Apple TV, Fire TV, Google TV, Samsung Smart TV, Xbox 360, PS3, iOS, Android, and, like I said, any computer. So there is a multitude of ways you can view it. It has heart rate tracking. If you buy a little heart rate monitor, it tells you how many calories you've burned. It goes step by step of the exercises, and you do different ones each day. You have on the weekends, you have stretching. So it's a very cool website app that you can get for a very small fee compared to what gym memberships are. You figure gym memberships are about $20 a month, and that's for one person generally. This is $12.95 a month. And you get unlimited access to everything that they have on their website.
Now, how exactly does it work? You install the app, and then you kind of work with the app itself and the website?
You can work from either the app or the website. It's an either-or. And we go through, and when we first started up, it asks you a bunch of questions, whether you're a beginner, what have you done, what are you looking for, how long of exercises are you looking for, because we tried several other things to try to get up and get healthy, but they're asking like an hour and a half, 2 hours of my time, and just don't have that much time. So we were looking at about a 30-minute time frame, and we got the beginner, and it sticks right around that 30-minute time frame, and we do it in the mornings. We get up, we turn the exercise on, it automatically picks which exercise that you're supposed to be doing that day. If you miss it that day, it actually has you do it the next day, so it's still keeping you on the routine.
Mm-hmm.
And it just varies. Some days, like we're doing cardio kickboxing one day, we're doing core 3 the next day, we're doing Shotokin karate another day. So it kind of just goes around the gambit of trying, and they're all designed to build up your core. So it's a very, very cool little plan.
Now, when you first install it or you first join the program, does it ask you what you're actually working on? Are you working on trying to get your abs in shape? Are you working on trying to do your, strengthen your muscles? I mean, does it work with those specific parts of the body?
It did not ask that. It just asked if we were, if we did exercise, if we were a daily exercise, if we've ever exercised, and things of that nature. So it isn't zoning in on necessarily
okay.
a specific area,
right.
specifically because we were beginners. Now they
right.
do have later on where it's all abs and, oh, I don't even know the different areas they all have because some of them just frankly intimidate me.
Well, I think that's my intimidation is I don't get up and move as often as I would like to because I get so busy. And I think this is a, you know, a common occurrence with a lot of moms too that have kids, and they you get so exhausted doing things. You go to work, you come home, you take care of the kids, you cook, you clean. You're moms and dads that end up doing that. Sometimes you forget to take care of yourself, and sometimes you just are too damn tired to take care of yourself. So
right.
Something like this is good because you have it right there with you. And can you use this in your office as well? You can use it anywhere,
could.
Right?
Yeah, you can use it anywhere. You play it on you can play it on your phone, and use
mm-hmm.
it that way, and just follow from the phone. You
right.
can literally. They say you can take it from your house to the hotel room, and you can work out in any of those
wow.
spots. You need very little. They suggest a yoga mat. We don't really use them. We have them, but we don't use them. So there's very little. Now, as you get into some of them, you need dumbbells and kettlebells and all sorts of different things. There's yoga and Pilates, and I believe
right.
there is one for pregnant women, too. Yeah, Beautiful Belly.
Oh, nice.
For three trimesters and postnatal. So it's
that's it great.
Follows the whole gambit of exercising, and you can do it in your home. So you're not embarrassed at the gym.
And see, I think that was in, and I'll be honest with you. I went to the gym one time, and I got on the treadmill, and I'm not used to. I rarely go to the gym, and if I'm going to work out, I'll go to the track and I'll run around the track. But as far as the gym itself, I rarely had gone to the gym. But I decided to go to the gym one day, and I got onto the treadmill, and I. There's all these little buttons on there, and, I'm looking around, and everybody's doing their thing, and, the lady next to me smiles, and I don't want to look stupid. So, I press the button that says regular, cardio or workout or something, and it's automatically set into the system. So I press the button, and it takes off. So I'm, slowly starting off, and then it gets faster and faster, and I'm starting to run, and then now I'm starting to hold on to this thing. It's getting a little bit faster, and now it starts going up, and I'm kind of still smiling. I know what I'm doing. So I get on there, and I just finish the whole entire thing, because it gives you a timeline of how long
right.
you're supposed to do this thing. Well, I pushed regular workout, okay? I didn't know what I was doing. So it seemed like forever that I was on that thing, and it wasn't stopping. And this lady next to me is just, she's still going. So I thought, okay. So I finally, it stops, it slows down, and it says I've probably lost about so many calories or whatever. And I'm feeling, okay, I guess that was it. I step off the treadmill, and I fall flat on my face. I felt like I was still on the treadmill. And this guy picks me up, and he says, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I think I need a drink." And he said, "You didn't bring a water bottle?" I said, "No, I didn't bring a water bottle." And he said, "How often do you come here?" I said, "Never." Yeah, I gyms are not for me.
See, I've been to quite a few gyms in the Marine Corps. We always went to the gym, so I've been
mm-hmm.
to quite a few gyms. It's just around here, it's better to go to the gym with somebody else. And
right.
I love my wife, but going to the gym with your wife is a little different than going to the gym with your buddies.
Right, right.
So
definitely.
At least here, me and the wife, we exercise and we have fun with it, and I actually enjoy it. So it's a very cool little app. And plus, it's getting me ready for the zombie apocalypse so that if that ever happens, I'm not the first one eating.
That's right. That would be me. I would be the first one eating. Now, I like the fact that it has the ability to work out in the privacy of your home or your office. I also like the yoga and the, you know, does it have anything to do with, like, the dance-type exercises as well?
The Cardio Sculpt, which kind of looks like it is, there's a move.
Nice.
I doesn't say what it is, but it's called Move, and she's dancing. So,
see, I like those type, you know, like Zumba and things, you know, things like that. That I like to be able to dance, and so at least feel like I'm listening to music too. It kind of gets your body into the movements. But it's called Daily Burn, DailyBurn. And you can find out more information. You can join at dailyburn.com. We're also going to have the link on our website and some videos of Josh working out. Okay, maybe not, but I know a couple of people probably got excited. They just went to the website now, I think. But,
there might not be videos of that. Maybe me dancing in doing the hammer dance in my hammer pants or something, but you know, nothing
else. Oh, you know, there you go, Josh. We just scared half our audience away. And that was the app of the week. Thank you, Josh, for Daily Burn. I'll have to try that out.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
And we are moving on to our board game of the week for families and parents that are listening. We have a couple of board games that you might be interested in. Actually, Josh, you have – which board game did you find and try this week?
I haven't tried it yet because I'm still waiting for it to get here. But when I do try it, we'll write up a review. But the game that I found, going with the theme of tech that makes you move or stuff that gets you up and move, the game that we found is called Capture the Gag. As weird as that name sounds, that's what it's named. And basically what this, it's kind of like Capture the Flag, except the gags are two aliens called Godfrey Gag and Gabby Gag. These aliens are magnetic, they have suction cups, they're bendable, and they have clips. And the premise of the game is that you split into two teams, so you need two or more players. You split into two teams, and each team gets a color and an alien, and they go to a room, or you could do it outside or what have you. They go to a room and they hide the gag, the alien.
Uh-huh.
And then once both teams hide the alien, they then switch rooms and they try to find the other team's alien. And whoever finds it first wins.
Well, that sounds interesting. Now you have to hide. You just hide this.
You just hide them, and they're magnetic. They're clippable. They're bendable. They're all these different things that you can hide them anywhere. You could hide them on the inside of a curtain. You could hang them on the backside of a door handle. You could hang them on the side of a refrigerator. You could have them hanging off the windshield of your car like you're driving really fast. You could do all sorts of things with them.
Well, Josh, I hope you don't hide them on the windshield of your car for your kids.
No, but it might put them on the windshield of my car like they're hanging on or something.
Right, right. It's just kind of hide and go seek almost like geocaching.
It is. It's almost exactly. I was actually thinking about that when geocaching. It is very much hide and go seek. It just has a little bit of a flavor to it. The game's by a company called Rubbing Hands. I'm not sure who thinks of these names, but you gotta love them.
That's definitely different.
And they also have a game. They have two other games. They went to a website and found it. And the website is timberdoodle.com. But they were sold out, so I went to Amazon and I found two other games that are called, one of them is a treasure, I forget what it's called. It's a treasure finder game where you find like this red ruby, and it's almost like, I guess, Blue's Clues or Dora the Explorer or something. But you have one of the kids hides the ruby, and then they make a map with clues, and you have to find the ruby. And then they have another one called Fred, I think it is. So it's a kind of unique games, but this one was goes with the theme of getting up and moving. So and it's a very cool idea. I think me and the kids will all have fun playing this.
I think it is too. I you know, and kids love finding things. And,
yeah.
You know, that's the biggest thing. And it doesn't even, like with geocaching, it doesn't even have to be a very big treasure. It can be little knickknacks or whatever. And like Capture the Gag, it could be just a little alien that they find. You know, they have to go find something. But I think they love to participate in finding things. So I think Capture the Gag is a wonderful idea for getting up and moving, you know, just a little bit, getting off of the technology for a little bit and spending some time together.
Yes.
I actually, for my board game, I did Ticket to Ride. Have you ever played that game?
I have not. I was looking at it, and it looks pretty cool, but I've never played it.
It is a very fun game, and it's not boring. It's a board game, so you're not really getting up and moving, but it has to do with trains, so trains move. And I thought about
hey,
this
trains do move.
So I thought about this, and it's not a very hard game to learn. It's we actually did a review on it at thegeekparent.com, and we rated it on our scales of 1 to 5 on certain areas. So if you are interested in finding out a little bit more about Ticket to Ride, you can visit thegeekparent.com and read our review about Ticket to Ride and where our ratings lie as far as educational and easy to learn and how family oriented it is. But the basic concept is that you are playing a color of trains. So for instance, if I take a red train and then you get cards and you go off the color of the cards. So you have to try to get your train, when you get a city card, you have to try to get your train from one city to the other off of these colored cards. And you can also prevent people from getting to their area if you know where you think they're trying to get by blocking them off with your trains. So the game is really simple. It's color-coded. It also, if you're colorblind or you know somebody who is in your family, it also has pictures coded to those colors as well. So that helps you out because there are some people who are colorblind. And it's a very quick game. It takes about 30 to 60 minutes, they say. It depends on how long. There's expansions to it as well. But usually it's about 30, 40 minutes for our family. And that obviously includes us talking some and trying to block everybody off and so forth. But my son, who is autistic also, loves this game. So it actually holds his attention. A lot of autistic kids don't have that. They have attention deficit disorder. So they get distracted really easily. But he really sticks to this game, and he really likes it. So I would highly recommend trying Ticket to Ride as well as Capture the Gag at our website at www.thegeekparent.com. My Josh, the time goes by so fast when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Oh yes, it does. I was just looking at that.
I know. Five more minutes, but I'm going to real quickly slide this new tech discovery in here. It's called FOGO or FOGO, either way that you want to call it. But it is a new Kickstarter venture, and it has to do with hiking, venturing out outside the home, maybe even using it for your geocaching there. And what it is, it's a flashlight, GPS, Bluetooth, backup battery, and digital walkie-talkie all in one. So you have this, like, ultimate adventure gadget. And FOGO is the only gadget that includes all of those, plus a digital voice messaging and a powerful LED flashlight, along with all the other little gadgets. And it's almost, it looks like a small, round flashlight, and it has all the stuff embedded into it, whether you're biking or hiking, fishing, hunting, you know, and obviously camping. It keeps you safe, and it pretty much lightens your load, so you don't have to carry all this stuff with you. And I know that some people can say, well, I have my phone. If I'm out there, I have my phone. My phone has a flashlight on it. It has a GPS. It has a Bluetooth. It has digital voice messaging. But sometimes you lose signals. And sometimes, yeah, you know, sometimes your battery dies out. But so sometimes you don't have those things. But this gadget has the internal backup battery with it, and it has all the little gadgets that are absolutely wonderful for camping and so forth, for those outdoor adventures. So I would highly recommend trying or at least going to the Kickstarter website. We'll have that listed on our website, thegeekparent.com, so you can go and support them. And if you think it's a great innovation, let us know what you think about it at www.thegeekparent.com.
You know, I don't see any pictures of Q on here. I'm sure he had something to do with it.
Really?
You don't even know who I'm talking about, do you?
No, I don't. It's Q.
Q is from James Bond. He's the one who creates all the gadgets.
He's the one that has the little, what do you call it, the cane there, that when you flip it up, it has the little gun or some dart in it.
Oh, well, he has all the cool gadgets.
He has to be that guy, because I saw some guy like that that was doing the gadgets and was showing that little cane off. So I didn't realize his name was Q.
His name is Q.
That's
his designation.
Awesome. You know, that's a good thing that you mentioned it, because if you go to thegeekparent.com this week, you'll find our newest mascot. He is a little green alien, and I have him sitting here on my desk. His name is Quibix, and you can call him Q if you want to. And you can, and you can win yourself a stuffed Quibix from thegeekparent.com this week if you pay attention and listen to us next week on the Geek Parent Talk Show. We will be giving one away. So thank you for joining us this week. Things go by so fast when you're having fun. But unfortunately, that's it from the Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes and your office today.
And as always, keep updated with our discussions and upcoming guests from our website at www.thegeekparent.com. And be sure to like us on Facebook and Twitter, also accessible via our website.
Enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to talking with you again right here every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, I'm Pat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hostetler. Thanks.